We are profoundly aware that God is present and speaking to us. A moment where the presence of God breaks in on us. I'm not talking about coming into faith, although that too is enveloped in this experience. I'm talking about that one moment when our faith shifts. Before, those things we grew up doing were enough. Being surrounded by our faith family, reading our Bibles, praying to God. Yet in this moment, our faith shifts from these things to a deep awareness of God. We don't just want to know more about God. We want to know Him more intimately, with all of our hearts. We want to understand God, to be united with Him. The God who made us, the God who loves us, the God who keeps us. The same God who created all of the world has called you by name, and now you have a desire to know Him. It is a moment when God speaks to us, and there is nothing else we can say but, "Lord, here I am." For Moses, his moment was at a burning bush, a place where Moses hears the voice of the living God, and there's no turning back. Let's read Exodus 3, 1 through 17. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, "The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, a land flowing with milk and honey." Let's look at the story from Moses' perspective. Moses is going about his business, tending his family's flocks. Suddenly, he looks over and there's a bush on fire. The Lord appears to Moses in that burning bush, and Moses knows that it is God, as God calls him by his name. This is Moses' moment. He knows about God, but none of that prepares Moses for what is happening in this moment. Because in this moment, all Moses can do is answer God, "Here I am." This is a moment unlike any other. It is sacred, standing in the very presence of God. So Moses takes off his shoes, for it's holy ground. And then God once again reveals himself as the God of his father, and of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. Moses must have been feeling a whirlwind of emotions, terror, awe, joy. So Moses hides his face, because he has no doubt of his place when he is faced with the one true God. Moses knows how insignificant he is. But God is here for a reason. He is here because he has seen the pain and turmoil of his people. And more than that, God has a plan to rescue them and to restore them. He has a plan to save them in a way that only God can, and Moses is a part of that plan. Moses, of course, is terrified. How can I be a part of this? How can my insignificance ever be overcome? Surely, God, you have the wrong man. But God promises him, "I will be with you." God reassures him that there will be signs and that he needs to not fear, for it is indeed the God of his ancestors who has called him. As Moses goes on to lead the Israelites, God is present in every way he promised. Through Aaron, through signs, through providing sustenance. But by year 10 of walking around a desert and eating only manna every single day, I imagine it got hard for Moses to remember why he was leading this group of complaining people. It would be easy to wonder if God was even there anymore. But Moses did lead, and he didn't allow that wondering to change his mind, because that time when God called his name from a bush was enough. Moses only got that one burning bush, and he couldn't return to it. But he could remember it and be faithful to that moment when he stood in the presence of God on holy ground and was known by God. Imagine that moment in our own lives. This is the God of the universe, the God who created the stars and knows them each by name. We are tiny, like a hazelnut, in the midst of all of God's creation. Yet in our human smallness and in the midst of our vast world, God begins to speak, and he's speaking to you. God knows you by name, knows you, and somehow you realize he knows everything about you. I may know the entirety of the Bible and everything there is to know about Jesus, but nothing that I know can compare me for this moment, because he knows everything about us, and there is no place to hide. For we all long to be with God, and to be with God is to be known by God. It is the moment for Moses when he hears the voice of the living God from the burning bush. It is the moment for Jonah as he prays and pleads with God in the belly of a whale. It is the moment for the Samaritan woman when Jesus reveals, much to her astonishment, that he knows she has had 5 husbands. It's the moment for Matthew when Jesus sees him and tells him to follow me. It is the moment for Saul when he is struck blind and God tells him what he must now do. It is that moment in life when you know you cannot hide, you cannot escape. It is a moment that is both terrifying and comforting at the same time. It is terrifying because you realize you can no longer pretend. You know that it is useless to live with the illusion that somehow you might be able to impress God. He knows every secret, every thought, every word you have spoken, and everything you have done. You have a sudden awareness that it is no longer possible to hold to this illusion of being worthy of God's attention or affection. Yet, for some unexplainable reason, it is also reassuring. God knows everything about me and still wants to call me by name. God calls out to me not to reprimand me, but to speak to me as a friend. He calls us by name, and we have no fear of being rejected. Here I am, God. This is who I am. You know me. You know my faults and my quirks, my uncertainties and my weaknesses. You know where I hurt, where I'm troubled, and where I struggle. But this is who I am. And in this moment, you know there's no place to go. It is out in the wilderness, alone, that God calls us by name. And we know that life will never be the same. I have always been inspired by the work and life of Mother Teresa. Teresa spent her childhood fascinated by missionary life, but never considered becoming a nun until she was 18. When she was 36, Teresa began to serve the poorest of the poor. When Mother Teresa died, her journal and private correspondences became public for the world to read, and what we learned about her life was quite astonishing. This servant of the Lord wrote about her calling experience. She shared that when she was 36, she had what she described as a calling within a call. With this clear moment from God in her life, Teresa began to serve the poorest of the poor, and she spent the rest of her life in selfless service in some of the dirtiest slums of the world. She spent most of the next 50 years in a faith crisis, wondering if she had any faith left and feeling alone in her calling from God. But despite this faith crisis, that one moment with God was enough to sustain her ministry for the next 50 years. It was not without uncertainty, doubts, and questions. In fact, it was likely filled with them. Filled with lonely nights, wondering if she had misheard God, wondering if anything she was doing was making a difference. But Mother Teresa was committed to a faithful life of serving the Lord, and her own burning bush moment was enough. I don't think we get many of these big moments with God. They are few and far between, but they are enough. Perhaps the strength and joy that comes from being with God is not only from these moments where we develop an awareness and desire for the living God. These moments are holy, and they're what get us through our faith journey. But we also have to be open to the ways that God is at work in the tiny moments as much as he is in the gigantic ones. May we be aware of the gigantic and the tiny workings of God this week. Will you pray with me? Father God, you are awesome in your holiness, and we are astonished once again that even in all of your holiness, you still see us and you still hear us. Give us the vision and the heart to see those who are hurting, and give us the courage we need to reach out to those who live in the despair of brokenness. Speak your promise to us once more that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.